want to read three short passages of scripture. Firstly, in Colossians, Epistle to the Colossians, and it's my Bible, it's page 1423, 1423. Epistle to the Colossians, and chapter 1, and verse 20. And by him to reconcile all things to itself, having made peace by the blood of his cross, by him, whether the things on the earth or the things in the heavens. And then in John's Gospel in chapter 14, page 1290, John's Gospel in chapter 14 and verse 27. I leave peace with you, I give my peace to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it fear. And then just in over the page, the end of chapter 16, John 16, verse 33. These things have I spoken to you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you have tribulation, but be of good courage. I have overcome the world. Probably have seen from the scriptures that I've referred to that I wanted to speak about peace. There's a lot of talk about peace in the world today. The President of the US would like to be awarded the Nobel Peace Prize, a prize given to people who do good things towards making peace in the world. Talk about peace, and they talk about how we have conflict in Ukraine and Russia, and they talk about how peace might be brought about for Ukraine to give all the conquered lands to the conqueror, to do away with their army, to just accept the status quo. Or in Palestine, Israel and Gaza are in conflict. There are those who say Israel should not exist, that they should just grant peace. Well, I'm not here to talk about the conflicts of this world, although surely we should pray for peace to be restored. But from the Bible, we should know that conflicts will come and conflicts will go. And Ezekiel says, I will overturn, until he comes whose right it is. Who's that? Until the Lord Jesus comes again. The world goes on in its own way, and it's given over to sin and what's evil. I know there are lots of good things, and people you know may do lots of good things, and you may do lots of good things, but you won't find peace here. People make resolutions. The president of the US a few years ago, 4 or 5 presidents ago, said we got peace. And if you go back to 1938, I think it was, Chamberlain said, peace in our time. Well, the Bible has to talk about peace. And it tells us things like the God of peace, and the King of peace, and the Prince of peace, and the Lord of peace. And that's a peace you really want. Because what Jesus is able to give us will give us proper peace. Not something that depends upon you giving everything up, doing something or being forced to do something. The peace that Jesus can give is one which will never be changed. Some of these pieces that we're talking about in Russia, Ukraine, no one's convinced that it would ever last, even if there were a ceasefire or anything like that. But the peace I'm talking about is a peace which will last. Not just now, but it will last forever. Do you have peace with God? That's why Jesus came. He came to reconcile us, to make peace by the blood of his cross. Why do you need peace? Why are you not at peace with God? Because if you're still in your sins, you're under judgment. You need to have your sins dealt with if God, you're to have peace with God. How can your sins be dealt with? Can you do anything? Can you buy it? Can you inherit it? You can't. There's only one way to get that peace, and that's to come to Jesus. He alone can give you that peace. He alone can reconcile you. He alone can deal with your sins or forgive you your sins. He has dealt with sin when he went to the cross. Those rulers at the time in Israel, they didn't want Jesus, even though he had words of grace and of truth, even though he healed a man with a withered hand, raised the dead, healed lepers, made the deaf to hear, the dumb to speak. Jesus did all these things. It showed that he was no ordinary man. It showed that he was God himself, manifest in flesh. And he did all these things to demonstrate that, so that you might know, and the people who listened and heard him might know, that he wasn't just a charlatan, someone just making it up, doing his own thing, doing his own will. But Jesus did these things to demonstrate that he was someone different. But all those acts of power would never achieve your forgiveness, never deal with your sins, never make you right with God. And so he had to go to the cross. Jesus had to become the sin bearer. He had to be the one, even though he's sinless, always did God's will. He had to lay down his life and bear that judgment for sin that should have fallen on you and me. He had to go that way at the cross. And he did. The Bible tells us Jesus did. There were many witnesses. Pilate said, "Take him away and crucify him." And the people said, "Away with him, we will not have him to reign over us." And they saw him on the cross, nailed there between two robbers. Jesus went that way for you and for me, because he wanted to make peace by the blood of his cross. And how did that make peace with God? How did that satisfy God? The judgment and the wrath of God that should have fallen on you and me as sinners was laid on Jesus. Even though he was holy and sinless, he'd done nothing worthy of death. Even Pilate acknowledged that. Done nothing worthy of death. But Jesus went and wore the cross. And it was to give you peace and me peace. A peace which was would last forever. Having made peace by the blood of his cross, there was Jesus on the cross, crucified, unable to do anything for himself. And in those hours of darkness, God laid his wrath upon him, poured out that judgment upon the head of Jesus, and he endured it. The holy, sinless one made sin and bore those sins that he found so abhorrent. Jesus willingly gave up his life. No one took it from him, although it looked as though Satan and those evil men were in control. It was allowed of God. The Lord could have called on 12 legions of angels. Even one can slay 186,000 people in one night. How would 144,000 or 12 legions of angels deal with it? But Jesus didn't, and there was a reason he didn't. And it was because he loves you and he loves me. And so he willingly remained there upon the cross. It wasn't the nails that held him there. It was his love for you. Because he knew that if he didn't go that way, if he didn't lay down his life, if he didn't suffer that judgment, then that judgment would have to fall on you and upon me. Because sin is something that has to be dealt with. God cannot not let it go on. He's gone in on patience with you and me that we might have the opportunity to hear the gospel and to answer to it. And so Jesus remained there upon the cross and died there upon the cross for you and for me. And the soldier came along to see if he was already dead, and having found that he was, says he pierced his side with a spear and out flowed the blood and the water. That's the blood of the cross, the blood that Jesus shed, the blood that's able to cleanse you from every sin. It was there that Jesus made peace. And you can have that peace if you will accept Jesus as your Saviour. Come in repentance to him. Acknowledge that you're a sinner. Acknowledge that you've failed. Acknowledge that you've done your own will. And just cast yourself at the feet of Jesus, and he'll forgive you. And say, thy faith has made thee well. And so Jesus has laid that basis, and it just awaits you and me to accept it, to put our trust in him. We were speaking this afternoon about how God has spoken to men in many different ways, the prophets and teachers, and then finally he's spoken to us in the person of the Son, in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. There isn't any other way. God has no other remedy. He has the perfect remedy, and you have to accept it. But don't think that you can obtain peace with God on your own terms. You have to accept God's word that God is right and that you are a sinner. Lord, help me. I used to come to the Lord to seek help, and he's still available today. He'll hear you if you cry in your heart to him. He knows whether you're refusing to listen to the glad tidings, whether you think it's just something your parents do or something nice to do on a Lord's Day evening. The glad tidings is for your benefit and for your blessing. And in John's Gospel, you may fear that perhaps Jesus wouldn't be concerned about you. I can tell you, he is concerned about you. When he hung there on the cross in those hours of darkness, the wrath of God was poured out on his head. If you think of how many sins I've committed, and you perhaps have your own assessment of your own, you wonder how it could have been done. But the Bible tells us, and that's God's word, that Jesus died there upon the tree for our blessing and benefit. He laid the righteous basis for God to forgive us our sins. And Jesus was talking to those who loved him. I hope you're amongst those that love Jesus. No one else has done what he has done for you, for your blessing. But he said to his disciples, just before he was crucified, He said, I leave peace with you. I give my peace to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it fear. Do you think something perhaps is still outstanding? Do you think that God missed one or two of your sins and that they'll be brought up against you again? Well, God doesn't want us to have doubts. He wants us to be sure of his love towards us and of the efficacy and perfection of the work of Jesus and the fact that his blood can cleanse us from all sin. And he says, I leave peace with you. I give my peace to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. The world gives you things, and as I said, presidents make plans for peace and all sorts, but they won't last, and they're not to be relied upon. But the word of Jesus can be relied upon. He's shown who he was, and he says, I leave peace with you. Something very settled about that. All sorts of troubles come on us in this world. The other scripture I wrote says, you have tribulation. In the world you have tribulation. But he says, be of good courage. I have overcome the world. Jesus has dealt with everything that stands against you, everything that might condemn you and would prevent you from coming into God's house and sharing eternity with him. Jesus has done all the work, and he's overcome everything that stood against us. Satan may have thought he won when Jesus was crucified, but Satan was defeated there because Satan's power was to lead you astray so that you come under the sentence of death. But Jesus has overcome Satan. He's dealt with your sins, and he's overcome death. Because all those that belong to Jesus, all those that trust him, he's promised eternal life. I've spoken to you that in me you might have peace. When all these troubles come upon us, we need to turn to Jesus, because he can bring in the reassurance. He can help us through these difficult times. And you can be quite sure that when Jesus said he was coming again, to take, I will not leave you orphans, I am coming for you, he will indeed come back for us. The gospel message has been going out for about 2,000 years, and maybe more now, but it's still the same. And the moment when Jesus is going to return is much nearer than he was before. When I first came to Jesus many years ago, well, now it's much, the Lord is going to come very soon. And the important thing is that we should get this peace now, that we should make sure that we're right with God, that we know him as the God of peace rather than the God of judgment. Says God is love, God is light. And he wants you to be blessed. And he's done everything that you might be. He sent his Lord, the Lord Jesus, his only Son, to suffer there upon the cross, to lay that righteous basis, and to give God the right to forgive you your sins. And he sent his Holy Spirit to those who trust him, who trust the Lord Jesus Christ, that they might have that assurance that Jesus was laid in the tomb after he was taken down from the cross, but he's now in the glory, alive to die no more. His sufferings are over. And tonight he can be your saviour, and he can, if you trust him, he will come to take you to be with himself. Will anyone be forgotten? No. God has perfect records. He has the book in which everything's recorded. Make sure your name's in the book of life. And if you're not sure, just ask Jesus to help you One man, he said, "I believe, Lord, help thou mine unbelief." If you're not sure, if you're uncertain, if you're afraid, come to Jesus. "I have spoken to you that in me you might have peace." No longer to be troubled. How are things going to work out? Is the government of this country going to do the right thing? Is there going to be another world war? Is there going to be more conflict? We don't know the answers to those things. What we do know is that everything is under Jesus' hand. All things have been committed into his hand. And he has promised those who love and trust him that he will come for them and take them to be with himself forever in God's house. May each one of us know and have that peace that we sang about, peace with God.